Actually, the disaster at Fukushima is really catastrophic. Well, there is a level, as you know, about the scale of the disaster, a nuclear disaster, which is divided into seven, and the level seven is equivalent to Chernobyl. But many specialists say that we have to upgrade the disaster of Fukushima to eighth grade, to level eight. It is really, I don't know how to say it, it's really dangerous and catastrophic. First of all, the earthquake hit in the eastern part of Japan was really, really huge and enormous. The Richter scale of that earthquake was 9.0, which was the fourth biggest earthquake in the history ever recorded. And here you can see Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant before the earthquake and tsunami. And after that, this is Fukushima Daiichi. So on the right side, you can see the first reactor. There is no roof because of the hydrogen explosion. And the next one is second reactor. It seems okay, but actually it isn't because of the hydrogen explosion too, but it occurred under the container vessel of the reactor. So from outside, it seems okay, but inside it's totally destroyed. And the third reactor was the worst one. You can see anything, I think, it's completely broken. And to make the matter worse, the nuclear fuel that were in use here in third reactor is called MOX fuel, which contain a certain percentage of plutonium, which means it's more dangerous than other reactors, because plutonium is one of the most toxic chemical in on the Earth, you know. And the fourth reactor is also broken, but I have to mention something about this reactor, because we didn't have any nuclear fuel in the reactor, but actually it exploded because there is a storage of spent fuel inside a building, and which need to be cooled down, circulating water by circulated water. And actually, earthquake broke it everything. So as happened in these three reactors, the fourth building was broken by the explosion. And the explosion occurred inside a building, so which means that the radioactive materials inside the reactor spread out all through the eastern part of Japan. Okay, this is the first reactor. So you, there's no roof, so the radioactive materials spread out and released, and it is the reactor number one is still releasing the radioactive materials, and it is estimated that we can stop releasing radioactive materials maybe in January or February of next year, which means that we have to wait for more than half year to stop it. And this is third reactor, which was most damaged, and it is completely broken, you know. And this is I think this is fourth reactor. Yes. Here I wrote that. No fuel in the reactor. There was no fuel in the reactor, but hundreds of used fuel rods are in the cooling pool and emitting radioactive smoke. So this this is an obstacle for workers to work there because they detect very, very high dose of radiation and they cannot work there, for example, just for 15 minutes or so. And that's the limit for them to protect their health. And, well, it's not so clear, but maybe you can see a smoke from the pool. And the many people, scientists and specialists who have promoted the nuclear power plant said that the nuclear power plant is safe because it is protected by five walls. And this building, concrete building, is the final wall. And we can see what's happening to the final wall. You know, it is never safe. And here you can see how the tsunami is enormous and it's all flooded. You know, and this is the city of Sanriku. It is called Sanriku, and actually, they live. Many people live there, and now it is estimated that more than 20,000 people are dead. I said estimated because we confirmed more than 15,000 people are dead, but still 70,000 people are missing, and we cannot find them. First, because maybe they are out of the sea because of tsunami. And second, we cannot look for them because we cannot enter near the nuclear power plant because of high dose of radiation. So we don't know when we can find them. And this is the ships on land. Actually, I visited there, Fukushima, about 2 months ago, and I saw many ships on the land, or even on the top of the roof of houses or market, I mean ships, and so many cars and houses broken, and it is a little bit difficult to see, but can you see the house floating up on the water? That tsunami came from there to this side. And in 10 seconds, well, the photographer said that in 10 seconds, the tsunami broke everything to here. It is very, very strong. And this is a bridge with broken houses. And this is the river and the bridge. And it's not so clear, but the river is very black because of the oil. There are many oil tanks along the coast, and all of the oil tanks were broken, and they all flooded out. And one friend of a friend took a picture of his backyard from his house. And this is a picture before the March 11th. And after, it turns like this. Just remember these three in the center. This is here. And, oops. Okay. And please remember where the sea is. Just beyond. It's a little bit far from his house, but after that, it's very near. It means that land went down, like 7 centimeters. So totally the landscape has changed. because of the earthquake. And it is very, I have to say that it's ridiculous to have nuclear power plants in Japan because we have so many earthquakes, as you know, I think. And this is the statistics of the number of earthquakes greater than 1.0 on Richter scale. Well, I just have the statistics from last December, and the average number of earthquake per month in Japan is around 150 or 160, around there. But after this March, it went up like 1,000. So it means that we have more than 30 earthquake, you know, per day, right? Am I right? I cannot calculate. Yes, okay, thank you very much. And this is the map of epicenter in the end of March, this March. So you can see the concentrated area is there, around there. And here is Fukushima Daiichi Nuclear Power Plant. Right? But it is just not in case of Fukushima, because we have 54 nuclear power plants reactors all around Japan. And this map is the suspected affected area in case of nuclear accident. And this is Japan, you know. There is no place to escape for us if something happens, you know. And in every place in Japan, we have earthquake, big earthquake. So we should shut down immediately the nuclear power plants if we want to live safely, you know. And actually, I am originally a scholar on peace studies. Actually, I'm not a specialist on nuclear power plants or radiation or something like that. I'm really a newcomer. I started to study about this kind of problem since March 12th. I mean, the next day of the earthquake, because I gotta know that I had to do that. And from my perspective, from the perspective of the peace studies, the concept of the peace is like a kind of building a house called democracy at first. But this is not enough, because if we, for example, decide and discuss and decide something with by majority, you know, there can be some kind of discrimination and segregation or something like that. So we need a roof called human rights to protect the right of minority or segregated and discriminated people or marginalized people, right? But it is not still sufficient. We need a basement. If we don't have a basement when we build a house, it is very fragile, you know? So the basement is called environment. We have to build a house, a society with a base of environment. And the nuclear power plant or nuclear development is completely against of this concept. And I think this is the equal to the Greens' ideal, the society, the democracy and human rights and environment and social justice or something, everything. And for example, well, this is a meal for the workers in Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant. And he took this picture, one of the workers took this picture, and he said that this is one of the best meal ever had in Fukushima Daiichi. So I took this picture. And there, they just have a little bit tuna and rice and cup noodle, and this is the only meal that they can have per, in a day, and this is the best meal. So in that sense, the laborer in Fukushima Daiichi is really depressed and in a sense segregated and sacrificed. So I call it it's a war. So the workers in Fukushima Daiichi is like a soldier in the front, in the very front, and they order to go there, maybe to die. So it is really critical. And not only the workers, but also the people around there were very, very affected. This is a map of radiation counter map. And you can see the little circle around Fukushima Daiichi, the red point. It is just 20 kilometers radii from nuclear power plant. And it is mandatory evacuation zone. But actually, it is not sufficient, because you can see more affected area beyond the evacuation zone. And the government created, it's called voluntary evacuation zone. It means, well, you can escape from there if you like it, but we don't help you or something. It is very, very irresponsible. So Green Japan claims about it, so that the government help those people to escape from there. And here, this is Tokyo. It is the distance from Tokyo to Fukushima Daiichi is about 250 kilometers, and this Tokyo is also affected. For example, they detected the radiation in the water from the cock, you know. It was about more than 300 becquerel per liter. And it is, it means that, well, I'm gonna explain a little here. Okay, let's see the criteria of limit of radioactive dose in each country or international institution. For example, WHO said that the limit of radiation dose for drink is just 1 becquerel per liter. And as I said, in Tokyo, 300, more than 300. Well, and that's in March. Now it's lower, but in March it was more than 300 becquerel per liter. And at that time, the government said that maybe you may not drink it, especially children, blah, blah, blah. I mean, they didn't prohibit. I think that they should warn more strongly that we have to avoid drinking water. And you can see how the Japanese government managed this sort of things. On the bottom, you can see a temporary limit for temporary limit of radioactive dose in Japan is 200. It is 200. It means 200 times of criteria of WHO. So how can we ensure our health? It is impossible. And to make the matter worse, the mass media always said what the government said. So I called it it's a war regime, because the workers and evacuated people, but also this kind of information control. And it is much worse than Ukraine and Belarus, which were very, very affected by Chernobyl, you know. So I have to, we have to climb to the Japanese government to take it back, to get back to the original limit, and to take care of people, because we have, for example, around Tokyo, we have more than 20 million people affected, actually, and they don't know what is going to happen in the future, because the low dose of radiation is we cannot see the radiation, and we cannot see the influence of low dose of radiation immediately. And the government always said that there is no influence to your health immediately. It means that maybe in 10 years we have some kind of cancer or something like that. And it is not only the problem of Japan. We have to think about it internationally. For example, we have to think about it between us. And actually, you can see this the origin of uranium imported to Japan. Actually, one third of the uranium which is in use in Japan is from Australia. And I think some little dose of radioactivity was detected here in Australia, I think. And I call it, it's coming back home of a children, because it was born in Australia, called uranium, and they went to United States, and they grew up as a nuclear fuel, and they go to Japan, and it's married with nuclear power plant in Japan, and make children, and they travel all around the world, including Australia. So, Japanese people must stop all of nuclear power plants, not only for Japanese, but also to all over the world, but also I want to ask you, Australians, to stop mining uranium and exporting uranium to prevent from the more exposure of radiation. So it seems that it's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel fine. I think some of you know this song of R.E.M., but I can feel fine only if you go green to stop mining and exporting and using uranium and nuclear power plant and a nuclear weapon and abolish every kind of nuclear development. And of course, we have to reduce the use of coal or LNG or something like that to reduce the emission of carbon or something. But I just want to focus on a nuclear power plant or nuclear issue right now because of that catastrophe. So now the society of Japan is a little bit changing. We are experiencing a sort of social change in Japan. People started to think a little bit more about our own society and to act and to do a direct action. For example, yesterday, my friends went to the municipal office to claim to stop the nuclear power plant. Actually, we have 54 nuclear power plants, and only 17 are in operation, which means that the rest is not in use, or it is under the check, and the government want to restart it, and they are negotiating with the municipality office or governor of that local government to permit to restart the reactors. And so we said, we are saying no. And but not only we need the action locally, but also we need a global action, an international action. So we need your help, but I think we can help you. For example, I think there are many people here to stop mining or uranium or something. So let's get together and make the world greener.
Thank you very much for the talk. My name is Kevin McHugh. I'm a seismologist, and I've been interested in the earthquake history of Japan. It turns out that there have been 4 earthquakes at least as large as this recent earthquake in historical time, and of those, there were 4 tsunamis, the biggest of which was 30 meters high. I think the tsunami in this case was 26 meters.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been known for at least 7 years that these 4 tsunamis have affected Japan in historical time.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, why did TEPCO and the Japanese government ignore the risk when the seismologist in charge of the advisory program resigned 2 years ago in protest against the lack of action?
Well, they ignored the warning because they wanted to ignore. That's the only reason. I mean that they knew that there is risk to a tsunami and an earthquake and everything, including human error. But, this is really difficult or complicated, but I think scientifically there is no chance for us to have nuclear power plants, first because of the earthquake, and the second the tsunami, and third human error or something, and fourthly, if we can operate the nuclear power plant safely, there is no safety around nuclear power plants. For example, there is many survey and an investigation about the cancer around the nuclear power plant, which are in operation safely. And we know that the percentage of the cancer around the nuclear power plants are very high. And of course, we have other problems in the exposure of workers in uranium mining or something, and there's no place to dispose, you know. I think you have same problem here about the disposal of the waste, I mean the soil of the uranium mining. And so scientifically there's no way, but they just want to promote it, the nuclear power plant, just for political reason, or I mean because of the development of it is related with also nuclear weapon industry, because the nuclear reactor is not energy generator. Well, it can be used as a generator, energy generator, but it's just byproduct of nuclear reactor. It is used for to produce plutonium, because it is the only way to produce plutonium, and the plutonium is only can be only used to the weapons, or we just throw it away, you know. So it is really it's just a political reason. Well, this is my point of view.
Yeah, so a follow-up question. I really appreciate your talk. It's really tremendous to get that sort of on-the-ground information, especially those photos. We all know from the Ranger Inquiry that uranium mining unintentionally leads to an increased risk of nuclear war.
Mm-hmm.
You highlighted that point. The question that keeps dogging me is that Fukushima was supposed to be supplying 30% of Japan's electricity needs, and yet out of 6 reactors, 3 had spent fuel rods stored in them,
mm-hmm.
in the cooling ponds or whatever, and some have been affected by this. Has anyone raised the question of some sort of clandestine reprocessing operation going on there? How could they afford to have 3 reactors going supposedly supplying 30% of Japan's nuclear electricity power, and having three offline just storing fuel rods with no reactor going.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, many people warned about that problem, and I think in the storage we have more than 2,400 tons of spent fuels, and there's nowhere to dispose. And actually, the Japanese government are constructing the reprocessing factory in northern part of Japan, and but the capacity of that factory is kind of 800 tons per year, and we are producing nuclear waste. I think it's 1,000 tons per year, which means we cannot we cannot throw away, or we cannot reprocess it, and we cannot do anything. So we restore the spent fuel inside the building of the reactors, and it is really dangerous because before using it, the fuel, nuclear fuel, is not so radioactive. I mean, compared with spent fuel, because spent fuel has much more radioactivity, and of course we know it, but the politicians and the majority of politicians ignored it or don't know it. So it is really political. Yes.
I just had a couple of questions. One was any comments that you have on the monitoring of food consumption in Japan. Mm-hmm. The second one was, I understood there was a power station's being shut down south of Tokyo because it's in a high earthquake zone. Have you got any comments on why the government's shutting that one down but not others? I understood there's a power station that's being shut down south of Tokyo because it's in a high earthquake zone, like particularly high earthquake zone. So I just wonder if you could comment on that power station. I heard that they were sort of, shutting it down because it's in a high earthquake zone. The government's decided to shut that one down. Why not others?
They are measuring the dose of radiation of food, but it is not sufficient at first. And second, and the criteria is very, and the limit is very high. I mean, before March 11th, it was much lower, or we don't have any limit. I mean, we didn't care about it. We just started to think about the limit of dose of radiation in vegetables or foods or in milk or something like that after Chernobyl. But it is for imported food, right? So there was no criteria for domestic food. And after March 11th, they decided some sort of limit, but it is really, really much higher than the international criteria. And the third point is that many people say that we have to save the farmers in Fukushima and the fishermen in Fukushima. Well, that is true. That is true. I agree with that. But many people say that, so we have to eat them. But I don't agree with that. Well, maybe, some specialists say that elder people are very not so influential. They don't have, they have less influence from the radioactivity. So one of my friends, he's a specialist of the nuclear thing, that maybe the people older than 60 years old can have food from Fukushima or something. It is really critical and really difficult, but we are discussing such kind of thing because the government doesn't compensate to the farmers and fishermen around Fukushima. I think that is a point. And it's not a point that we have to have the food from Fukushima to save Fukushima's people. It is a different point. And the second question, the government ordered to stop one of the nuclear power plant, but it is just temporary stop for 2 years. And in 2 years, the electric company is going to make something, a wall or something to prevent the tsunami or something. But it is not useful. I mean, it is not sufficient, or there is no way to escape from some kind of accident or incident in nuclear power plant, because the tsunami is not only the cause or reason that we have of the accident of nuclear power plant. So actually, the earthquake is the reason to that the government ordered to stop it, but it's just for one nuclear power plant. We have so many nuclear power plants, as I said, and in everywhere, we have a possibility to have an earth, very big earthquake. So some people assume that the government ordered to stop just one nuclear power plant to prepare to restart other nuclear power plant, because it's a kind of, I don't know how to say in English, but
That's right,
yes, trade-off or something. Yes, trade-off. Okay, we're going to stop one nuclear power plant, and maybe some of you are happy, or something like that. Yeah.
I want to raise the question of alternative energy.
Mm-hmm.
If the government were to come to an agreement whereby nuclear power was phased out, it raises several very important questions.
Mm-hmm.
It obviously couldn't be done overnight.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be phased. And my question really is, in your view, and the view of perhaps the Japanese Greens, how long would it take to phase out the nuclear source of energy,
mm-hmm.
and replace it with an alternative source,
mm-hmm.
of energy or alternative sources of energy?
Mm-hmm.
And what, in your view, would be the most realistic,
mm-hmm.
replacement energy sources?
Well, from my point of view, most realistic one is wind power, because well, Japan is a very tiny country. I don't know how many times how many times bigger here, Australia is, but it is very small country, small island country. But we have so many territories. I mean, the sea, and we can build a windmill in the sea, like for example, Denmark. And we have so much potential for the wind power. And of course, we have a bunch of source of resource, geothermal resources. And according to the specialists and the researchers, we can replace all of the nuclear power plant to the geothermal power plants. Which means that geothermal power plants, if we build many geothermal power plants in Japan, we can provide 30% of the electricity in Japan. And actually, 75% of the geothermal plants in the world is from Japan. It is made in Japan, and it is, of course, with good technology or something. And so we have technology and we have resources. So, well, I repeatedly say that it is really political, because we have everything. And we just, what we don't have is political movement. And actually, I've been involved in the Greens movement, I mean, political movement for these about 7 or 8 years, because we don't have any representative in the parliament. So many people are against, right now, many people are against to the nuclear power plant. From 70%, 80% are against the nuclear power plant. But we cannot change it really strongly, because we don't have any representatives in the parliament. And some small groups of the political party in Japan are against to the nuclear power plant, but it is just after the earthquake, because they want to get more votes, you know. So, and of course, we have been against for a long time, you know. So we need political power, and that is really political. And of course, we have really big possibility to change to the sustainable energy. From a point of view, I think it's in 10 years, if we concentrate it, we can shift the energy to the renewable one in 10 years.
Yeah. Some other questions on this side, I thought.
Yeah, I think. He's answered my question about alternative energy sources.
When is the next election?
Well, it will be 2013, July, into 2 years. Mm-hmm. Yes.
How is Japan coping with less electricity supply? There's less electricity. What problems has this created?
You mean if?
How do you manage
now? You haven't got the nuclear electricity. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Well, actually, if we shut down all of the nuclear power plants in Japan, we have enough electric energy. Well, it is mainly from the fossil fuels. And it is a problem, but at least if we don't have any nuclear power plants, we have sufficient energy, electric energy, yes. And that is what is the government is lying, because we have to save the energy. Well, we have to save the energy, of course, but you should shut down everything, because the electricity, we don't have any enough electricity or something.
Ricky, on the way here, we were talking about the changes that have been made and in terms of shutting off the lights at night,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And other things. Daryl, who's recently been mm-hmm. to Japan, noted that particularly. Do you want to just talk about some of the changes that have been made in the way people are behaving?
Well, actually, yes, we are more conscious about saving energy than before March 11th. But I think that, compared with others, Japanese people have already saved very much energy. I mean, in each family. The use of the most part of the use of the electricity is for the industry, and in peak time, 92% of the electricity goes to the industry. So of course we save energy in our house or in our room, turn off the air conditioner or something like that. But it is not enough, or it is not. Doesn't really make sense. We have to change the system or scheme of industry, how to manage the industry. For example, I think it's Nissan or Honda. They shift the work schedule so that the people and workers take a holiday in Thursday and Friday, and then they work Saturday and Sunday, and then we can shift. We can manage the peak of the electricity. Actually, so we are doing we are changing something and to adopt this crisis. Yes.
One more quick question. That was you showed the radiation intensity map, which is the airborne radiation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
With the demand to the government to produce the numbers, the figures of what's going on. Is there any data for the sea contamination, the oceans?
That is really, really important point, and that is what the government doesn't want to do it. Actually, some boats of Greenpeace tried to enter to the port of Japan to measure the contamination of the sea, and actually, Japanese government refused to port the boat. And it is, I think, we have to measure the contamination of the sea, and the most important thing is seaweed, because it doesn't move, you know. It is really important. But the Japanese government, I don't know why, but the Japanese government doesn't do that right now. And I really, really wonder, I'm really worried about it, because, you know, it affects to all over the Pacific countries. Yes.
Sorry for asking a second question, but in a way it's related to my first point, that how many people were actually killed as a result of the destruction of the nuclear facility? That's the first part.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are killed every year on the roads in Japan? And why do we have a different concept of risk that we are prepared to get in our cars, but we aren't prepared to die as a result of a nuclear accident?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a discussion that we don't have in Australia, and mm-hmm. I think we need to start that discussion about, because people like me make those decisions on the basis of the rest of society,
mm-hmm.
and society doesn't seem interested in trying to define the level of acceptable risk. And in building a nuclear power station, there is always some risk of the power station being damaged.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of the made by the industry is that very few people are killed. So
mm-hmm.
if you could answer how many people are killed, how many people are killed in car accidents,
mm-hmm.
and why do we have this different concept of risk?
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that question. Actually, nobody knows that how many people were killed by their work or something, or in a nuclear power plant, because, well, actually there are many people who got cancer because of the exposure of the radiation. But the one of the most terrible thing is that the radiation doesn't, we cannot find the proof of the damage of by radiation. Because if I got something, for example, some kind of chemical, the doctor can detect it in my body, I mean chemical. But the radiation doesn't remain nothing, just break the cell or break the DNA and it's gone. So we cannot define that it is by the exposure of radiation or something. And actually, many workers have claimed that I got cancer because of the work in the nuclear power plants. And only, I think, 7 people
recognized.
Yes, that's right. Thank you. Recognize the influence of the radiation in the nuclear power plants. But of course, I think thousands of people were killed, actually. And the reason why we have to take care of it and we have to shut down the nuclear power plant or something, is that we can choose, for example, maybe I'm going to die in 30 minutes walking around there by car accident. But, for example, I can at least take care of myself, or, I mean, step out from the car, or not driving a car or something. But we cannot escape from the accident of nuclear power plants. And most important thing is that the children cannot choose where to born. If they are born near the nuclear power plant, then they should be affected. So it is very, very social, and I say it's very discriminatory, because many people who live near the nuclear power plant work for the nuclear power plant, or they work for the workers of the nuclear power plant. So it is a kind of one society, one family of nuclear industry, and they live there because of their job, you know. But and many people, many daily workers are gathered to a nuclear power plant to work there. So many marginalized, socially marginalized people were socially forced to work there. So in social terms, we have to avoid it. We have to abolish it and avoid it. Not only because physical point of view, but also in a social point of view, we have to stop it. That's my opinion.
And the thing that interests me is about you were talking about the speculation that reactor 1 could cease its release of radiation by early 2012. And TEPCO's put out information saying that they could contain the situation within a couple of years and then complete the cleanup in 20 to 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
My concern is always, I mean, I've seen the photos of the workers there within appropriate personal protective equipment, no breathing equipment, face masks stuck on with tape, plastic bags over their shoes. This is all literally true. I'm worried about the emergency services personnel who may be called to the site of the Fukushima disaster during the next 30 years. What sort of things we can do to ensure their safety, and then to follow up all the workers who have been affected. They call them the Fukushima 50, but there's maybe 800 or 900 workers who have been involved.
There are so many aspects about the problem of the workers in Fukushima Daiichi, not only the workers of electric company, but also, as you mentioned, firemen or every workers there. First of all, I think that labor union should fight for them, but actually they don't work well in Japan, because the biggest labor union has been promoted the nuclear power plant for their, well, first of all for their job, but secondly for their salary, to raise their salary and to protect their job. Actually, I think that we have to have more workers to protect their health, because we have to, it is really critical, and as I said, it is a war, because we have to divide risk, we have to have more people to work there to reduce the risk. Yeah, I don't know how to say it in English.
Yeah.
That is a problem.
Spread the risk.
Spread the risk, yes. And but we cannot escape from the risk. We just can spread the risk. That's what we can do. But actually, the number of workers are running out right now. And as you said, maybe it takes 25 years or 30 years. So we don't know how many times, how many years it's going to take. So we have to think about it. But now we don't have any good solution. Yes, that is really problematic.
Given Japanese history of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, I found it difficult the way the Japanese have embraced nuclear power. Maybe it was economic reasons, I don't know. But also, were there any studies done long-term from Hiroshima, the victims of Hiroshima and Nagasaki that might be of use here?
Well, this is just my opinion, but Japanese government has promoted a nuclear power plant, or I mean, I call it nuclear development, just because they have dreamed to have nuclear weapon. Because as I said, nuclear reactor is a producer or product machine of plutonium. It is the first purpose of the reactor. And actually, well, we of course, we cannot have nuclear power and nuclear weapon by law and by constitution, but many people, many politicians dreamed of having nuclear weapon. And to have nuclear weapon, we need plutonium and uranium, processed uranium, we need reactor. So that's why Japan turned to nuclear power country. So I repeatedly say that it is very political reasoning. Yes.
As far as the other problem, what about having studies on victims of Hiroshima?
Well, it is very, very hidden by the military, by the United States, because it is studied, well, of course, Japanese have studied about the, for example, the exposure or influence of the exposure of radiation or something, of course, but they want to hide the informations. And actually, they have hidden the informations about the influence of the radiation, especially the influence of low dose of radiation. Even if it's low, it is very dangerous, and then it causes many diseases like cancers, everything. Actually, I have a friend of Hibakusha in Nagasaki, and he got disease half century after the bombing. 15 years later, and the doctor said that it is there is no doubt that it is by the influence of the nuclear bomb, but I cannot write it in the card as an it is by the influence of nuclear bomb because of the law. The law says that how to say? I don't know how to say, but it is really strict that to have a card for Hibakusha or something.
It's a side issue, but how can we stop Indonesia going down the same track?
Well, that's one of the reasons why I came here, because if we stop supplying the uranium, we cannot do anything about it, right? Well, we have to do everything to stop mining, stop exporting, stop using nuclear power plants, and stop disposing the waste around.